Well, I just want to say, you know, this is the last Sunday of 2018. I mean, I can't believe how quickly this year has gone. It's unbelievable. You know, you just think, my goodness, how could this happen? But when we look at it and we look back, like we Howard mentioned this morning, we sometimes reflect. It's part of our culture, I think, that we reflect a little bit, sometimes in awe, sometimes in horror, sometimes in like hide myself in the sand somewhere. But as Christians, I think we should be looking back and saying, am I on? Yeah, okay. Yeah, is it okay? It says it's on. Is it? but it doesn't seem to be. Okay, anyway, I'll let you work that out. I speak loud enough all the time, so. I think when we, as Christians, we should look back and, hello there. I'm speaking from the bottom of a well. But we should look back and say, I am grateful and thankful for everything that I have gone through, whether it has been difficult, sorrowful, happy, joyful, challenging, easy, whatever it is, because we know that our times, remember we spoke about this, our times are in God's hands. And I look back and we should be rejoicing on this day. We should be rejoicing as we reflect back. And then, of course, I guess this is a pivot point a little bit, because next week when we get together will be the first Sunday of 2019. And we turn and we look forward and we say, God, whatever this year has to bring, I welcome it. I mean, the first thing I'm going to do the next day is have a hip operation. So I welcome it, Lord. Did you hear that? You know, I welcome it and ask God to help me to go through whatever is going to come in our lives. Now, okay, second thing I want to say is I want to thank everybody here for being such a wonderful church family. You don't know, I hope I say it enough, but maybe I don't. I hope you know how much I appreciate you, is that you are my family. And I appreciate the concern, the support, the care, the redirection that you sometimes take me on, all that sort of thing. I really appreciate it. We are walking this path together. It is not as in some maybe church structures, there's the pastor or whatever priest up here, and here's the other people down here. I never consider that. I think we're together. We're walking together. In fact, I consider myself behind and kind of encouraging you forward a little bit. So I just want to thank you. And then the other thing I want to give thanks for, I want to say, Esther, could you just raise your left hand and wiggle it around a bit so that the light might fall upon something. So let's give thanks for Esther. And I think we know the mystery man. His name is Samuel. So if you want to know more, you can talk to Esther afterwards and get all the scoop. And we also want to welcome children into our midst. We've been talking as families that, you know, you hear me talk so much about community. And we are a family. And I want us, and I hope we all want us to be that. And that we welcome our little children. And so we all want to do that. Like when I've done children's dedications, and I hope maybe if you've had your child dedicated, it was in a church family. And the things that we say is not only to the parents, are you willing to bring up your child as a Christian in knowing God and being that example to them, but we also ask the congregation to stand and say, will you support this family? Now, even if some of the parents that have come into this church who already had their child and have not or haven't done that here, we as a church family, we stand behind our parents. So all the parents, I'm going to turn around, all the parents wave your hands. Come on, wave your hands, all the parents. Okay, all right. So everyone else looking and each other, we want to support each other as families. And so single people or people who don't have children, that's you too, is we all support one another and care for one another. We want to care for these little children that they will grow up knowing the Lord and that they will reach their potential of what God wants for them in our midst. So that's just my little introduction for today. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your love. We thank you, Lord, for 2018 and what you've brought us through. Lord, each of us can think in our hearts about the times that were sad and the times that were happy, the times that were challenging, the times that were difficult. But Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for all things, Lord. For you make all things, you put them together, you weave them together for good, for those who are called according to your purpose. Father, I pray that as we take this moment, these few moments, to look at your word and to put some of these thoughts together, and maybe as we get dressed for the coming year, Lord, that you will help us to know your will. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we've gone through the birth of Jesus. We've gone through Advent. We've had the preparation. We've looked at the birth of Jesus, okay? And now we want to say what do we wear? In other words, what are the ultimate results of the birth of Jesus in our lives? What is the ultimate result of Jesus coming into the world, but also Jesus coming into your lives? I mean, the obvious result of believing in the Son of God and having his birth into our lives is that we celebrate him as Lord of Lords and that he will return again. And that in that, he will put the whole universe to rights. He will make it right. And we will be part of that. And his kingdom will reign forever and ever. After Jesus' birth, when we read in the Gospels, there's only one mention of Jesus' life between his birth and the time when he presents himself for ministry. And we know what, most of us know what that is. The incident was when he was found by his parents in deep discussions with the rabbis and the scribes and the priests in the temple when they went to their yearly pilgrimage into the temple. So I want to connect this to today's passage in Colossians, okay? So Jesus' visit to the temple, you know that story. What do we learn? One is that along with his parents, Jesus grew up in a thoroughly faithful Jewish household, observing the festivals, the pilgrimage to Jerusalem. He grew up with all of the rituals, all of the examples that his parents gave and that the community gave around them. Mary and Joseph made sure to fulfill their duties as parents toward their son Jesus. This should resonate with parents out here, that they fulfilled their duties. He speaks and teaches, Jesus does, as a Jewish insider. So he can challenge the view of the Pharisees regarding the Gentiles and God's purposes. But he never rejected Judaism. Jesus had an understanding of his purpose in life at a young age. You know, some theologians go over and over again, like, did Jesus know he was God? You know, I don't like to get into those discussions. I mean, I like to get in discussions like, how am I going to act because of this? You know, how am I going to live because of this sort of thing? Luke tells us that Jesus, this is the one little nugget. Luke tells us that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. Jesus had to learn, now get this, Jesus had to learn step by step to grow in God. Our children need to learn how to grow in God step by step. Sometimes as little kids, when we, when I taught my daughter about things, you know, about prayer and God and worship and singing and all that kind of stuff, sometimes their view of God is very childlike. Like if I pray this or if I do this, then God is going to do this. And sometimes, of course, that doesn't always happen. But as we grow up, we learn more of what God's purposes are. And they're not always to answer our prayers exactly the way we pray them. And that's true not only for children, but it's true for you and me, because we're God's children. And now, you, as parents, we see, oh, I'm parent to this child. I'm the big one here. I'm the chief cook and bottle washer. I'm the authority. But guess what? We're under authority. We are children. You and I are children. Isn't that humbling? We think we're pretty cool. But we're children. And the moment that Jesus comes into our lives, whether it's when we're 10 or 15 or 30 or 50 or 70, we are learning how to grow in wisdom and stature, step by step, just as Jesus did. So, and it takes our whole lives. So that's why when we can stand here at the cusp of 2018 and 19, is that we look behind and say, what have I learned? How have I grown in wisdom and stature? If we were doing a little workshop right now, I'd send you off into some sort of silent repose or whatever and have you write down all the things. Go back over a timeline of 2018 and find and write the things that you've learned. So it seems that Jesus knew his identity and he aligned himself with God, with God's purposes, that his purposes became the purposes of God. Now, what about us? How do we grasp our identity as followers of Jesus? I'm glad to hear I was at the ecclesiastical dinner last night, but I wasn't, I would have been the only Caucasian sitting around there talking about Asian background. You know, maybe I need to do my DNA and see if there is any lurking in my background, you know, somewhere many, 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 many whatevers ago. I don't know. But the thing is, we are Christians. And so when we get together, I think our discussions and our talk should be less on Asian or American or Caucasian or whatever, and more discussion on who we are as Christians. That is how we do community. That's how the early church did it. When you look at the book of Acts and things like that, you see that they met together. They had broke bread, they shared, they had household families, the kids were running around, the dogs were barking and all sorts of things. Reminds me of out in the bush with the Aboriginal people. I felt right at home. I kept saying, you guys are Old Testament Christians or early Christians. Anyway, the deal is that this is what we do. Is we discuss, well, how can I respond as a Christian in Canberra, in my job and stuff like that? We can help one another. That's what we should be doing. We're not individualistic. We don't need to walk this path alone. We are a community. I think I've been talking this talk for 8 years. Because I looked back, and after I did the, the church camp in 2010. I came and the M&M was one group then. And I look back at this, I did like 8 sessions, 8 weeks, and it was about, if some of you were here, we had 3 circles, and one was worship, one was community, and one was mission. And we talked about how those are part of our community. So that was what I was on about at the very beginning, and I think I'm a broken record, you know, like I'm hoping that one day when I go to be with Jesus or I, you know, whatever, I can say, I did it. I did what you told me to do, Lord. That's what I want more than anything. Anyway, How do we do this? So we start out in Colossians 3, and this is the first three verses, four verses, that Howard, or somebody read. Who read? Howard? No, you. Yes. If then. If you've been raised from the dead? How many have been raised from the dead? Oh, I hope you all raise your hand. Come on. You know, like, are you going to shrink back when Jesus appears? All I did was ask you to raise your hand. My goodness gracious. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ. That's a big few sermons in itself. This is it. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Whoa! That's our purpose. That's the excitement. That's what we're headed for. What a promise. This is the result of the birth of the Son of God. From Christmas to now, we see this is the purpose. Paul then gives us some very practical things that we should do as followers of Jesus. You know, God never meant us just to know the basic tenets of the scripture or of Christianity. He wanted us to live them. God meant that we would be transformed. We would live different lives than before we came to know him. Do you have before and after stories? Do you see yourself before you were really a committed Christian? Even if you grew up in a Christian home, you had to make a decision at some point in your life. You're not born as a Christian. And some of us, I fall in the category of a terrible life, brokenness everywhere, and came to know the Lord as an adult, where I've already had chances to ruin my life. So however you have come to know Jesus, have you seen how you've changed? Have you seen how you've changed in the last few years or the last year? So after these first few verses of encouragement of who we are, then Paul gives us some things to do. And first of all, he gives us something negative, but I'm not going to dwell too much on this, but he says we need to throw things out. Now, I was just talking. In fact, it was wonderful. Yusheng, you had an introduction to the sermon this morning. He said, I've been trying to throw things out at my house. You know? He's been trying to do a cull, you know. I often do that, you know, like I do the rounds of the house, you know, okay, today I'm going to do this room. No way could I do the house in one day, you know. In fact, sometimes after the first drawer, I'm tired of making a decision of what to throw out. I've got a couple of books on my Kindle that, you know, the one by the Japanese woman and a couple of others about how to reduce your junk, you know. And the three piles, you know, that you've never worn, that you've worn only once in the past year, and that you do wear. So this one, out. This one, probably out. This one. So, but, you know, like I used to encourage my husband to do this, and he would get to first article. And he'd be there, the first article, thinking of all the things, memories that it brought, and all of the things he could do, and all that. I gave up, you know, like. So we do the same thing. So, but Paul says in our lives, he said, you have to throw some things out. You have to do a cull, okay? And he says, put to death what's earthly. So he basically says two things. One is immorality, sexual sins, sex before marriage, sex outside of marriage, impurity, pornography, evil desire, covetousness, all this sort of thing. And then the other thing has to do with speech and attitudes, which is anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, and no lying. So all of these areas that Paul lists here have to do with community. There's no individual private sins there. They all wreck somebody's life beside yourselves. And these things can split and hurt community and the family of God if they're not dealt with. So, if you look at verse So he says, put away. Okay, so now we go to verse 9. Do not lie to one another, seeing you've put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self. Now, next phrase. Which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. That is deep. We, you and I, are being renewed. You put off the old self. You now are born again. You are being renewed day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. In knowledge of what? The doctrines of something, you know? No. Knowledge in the image of the Creator. What's the image? It's something we see. It's something we hear. It's something we touch. It's the image of who Jesus is. All the attributes, all the lovely, wonderful things of who He is. Perfect, holy, everything. We are being renewed according to that image. I want you to grasp this. I want you to take this chapter. I want you to read it this week. Don't let it drop out of your ears as you walk out the door today. So, what do you wear? You know, like when you go, you rush home from work, you've been at work. And if you've been at work you haven't been at work in the last week because most of you are public servants. So, but anyway, when you are at work and the temperature outside is 35 or 40, you sweat, okay? So, you leave the air-conditioned building, and by the time you get to your car or by the time you go and get home, you're like, you know. And you remember that you have a wonderful dinner date with your fabulous love, you know, your best person. Oh, look, he's found Grandpa. So, and here, in your sweaty clothes, you go home, and what do? You try to pull them off. You pull them off, and you put on the new clothes. You put on the clothes that you want to go out in. So what do we put on? Okay, now, the list is this. I'm going to do the list first. Compassionate, tender hearts. I'm putting on, I'm not naked up here. I've put off, but I still have this on. But I'm putting on some new clothes, okay? Compassion and tender heart, all right? This is what Paul says, by the way. This is what the Bible says. Do you put on compassionate and tender heart every time you walk out of the door? When you go to work, do you forget your trousers? Do you forget your suspenders? Do you forget your top? Do you forget compassion and being tender-hearted? No matter what comes your way. Okay? No matter what comes your way. So compassion and tender-hearted does not mean being sentimental. But it means to recognize and emotionally identify with and interact with those who are hurting. Do you have spiritual antenna? You should. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you should have a spiritual antenna. So when you go to work, God has placed you there. Or school, God has placed you there. And you should have a spiritual antenna that compassion and tenderheartedness relate to. Ding, ding, ding. Radar, radar. That person needs compassion. Okay? And then you put on kindness. Kindness. Kindness doesn't mean a soft touch that everybody that needs a handout comes to you, but thoughtful consideration beyond how people treat us, however they may or may not deserve it. Kindness, get this, seeks the highest good in others. Do you seek the highest good of your wife or your husband or your child? Or your friend? Do you seek their highest good or your own highest good? As a Christian, we're supposed to put this on, kindness. I want to seek the other person's highest good. And then it says, humility. Humility is not low self-esteem and a mat that you walk on, that others walk on you. It means God is everything. And we are his servants with a loving heart. And allow him to direct our paths. That's what humility means. It doesn't mean you're a sop. It doesn't mean you're a weakling. It doesn't mean, it means that I know who I belong to, and that's God, and I'm his servant, and I'm humbling myself under him. And then you put on, it says, meekness. Meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Okay? Listen to this. Meekness is strength under control. We all think we're pretty strong in some cases. And sometimes we really want to let everybody know. But it's strength under control and places others first. Then the most, you know, one that we all lack is patience. And so it says patience, willing to allow for the failings of others while showing tolerance and fortitude toward them and waiting upon God. We could go into these big time, but I just want to give you the idea. And then there is bearing with one another. Okay, I'm going to put it right here. Bearing with one another. Bearing with one another, and I think it's either Tom Wright or Eugene Peterson puts that, put up with one another. I like that. Put up with one another, okay? I also like one of my very dear friends who passed away a couple of years ago, always talked about generosity of spirit, that we as Christians need to have generosity of spirit. We need to give people a lot more leeway and latitude than we do. We sometimes, as Christians, we you know those, have you seen on TV where they do the sheep shearing or take the sheep and they have these narrow little things, you know, where the sheep can't turn around, so they know they're going that way? Sometimes that's what we do as Christians. We build these little narrow things and expect people to go through that. Oh, well, you've got to do this if you're a Christian. We even tell our kids that. But we're not generous in our spirit. We're not generous in our spirit. And this is what God wants us to be. And then we have, I'm going to put some others. Forgive. Forgive. And peace. Be thankful. Okay. I had another one. I think it's in my bag, but it's love. Because in the scripture it says love. Put love over all things. Now, these things are not easy. I'm the first one to say this. None of these are easy. Have you tried to forgive someone who's hurt you? It's not easy. Have you really tried to be compassionate and patient? It's not easy. These things take serious prayer and moral effort. In God's view, Christian godly behavior makes someone more human, not less. God wants us to be more human. More what he created us to be. He created us to be in his image. And so he wants us to be more like that. So what I want you to do for yourself is take this scripture, take this passage, and go home and look at each one of these words. And I want you to say, because this is only you can do this. I can't do it for you. I can't force you to do this. If you don't want to grow in wisdom and stature, that's your deal. But I hope I'm speaking to people here who want to grow in wisdom and stature. And so what it means is that you take these home And that you lay them out and you say, Lord, I'm looking now at 2019. Which one or which ones of these do you want to grow more in me? God's very practical. He doesn't hide things. Guess, you know, like he said, yeah, just guess. No. I believe he'll point it out. I believe in prayer that he'll say, you need to be more compassionate. You need to have a more tender heart. Or he might say, I think you need to be more kind within your friendship group or within your family. I believe he will say these things. He may work a little bit on all these things, but I believe God points out something to work on, something to pray. What is our work? Our work is to pray and believe that God is going to do this. Because it is by his Spirit that he will do it. This is really wonderful. So just as you would not leave the house without your clothes on, then don't leave. Don't go into your small group. Don't go into your community. Don't go to church without putting these on. Without wrapping ourselves in the new life that Jesus has given us. And then it's interesting because after this list, it says in verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. To which indeed you were called as one body. Paul continually comes back to community. Why all these things? So you can be a super Christian and have your name up in lights and do DVDs and fly around the world and, you know, have books written about you and everybody says, he's the best Christian I've ever seen. You know, forget that. No, it's because you can be like him. This is not just to his church service, but to every day of our lives. So then Paul ties it all together with the Lord. He says, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Do you know the word? Or if I shared some verses, we say, oh, I don't know where that come from. It needs to dwell in you richly. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So in our care for one another, in our groups together, in our friendships together, we should be sharing these things together. And I appreciate it when somebody says to me, Diana, I really care for you and love you, but I've been praying about this. This is something I think that you need help in. We should be open to that because we want to be more like Jesus. But sometimes we can be stubborn and say, well, this is the way I am. Well, yeah, Jesus accepts us how we are, but he wants us to change. He wants us to become like him. See? And look, everybody, I want to say this in all truthfulness. If you want that, God will do it. If you don't want it, he'll let you alone. And I just want to say to you, I think that would be the most horrible thing in the world for God to leave me alone. Finally, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Someone said that Christianity is the religion of the resurrection. With this portion from Paul, he begins with that. He says, now that we've been raised with Christ, now that we are in resurrection life, and you live in resurrection life if you have put your trust and faith in Jesus and he is your Lord. Christ is all in all, and through him there can be no divisions. It says that here too. There's no racial divisions. There's no, you know, like, Asian, Caucasian, Taiwanese, and Malaysian, and blah, 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 blah. You know, we put labels on ourselves. These are the labels we need to have on ourselves. See? Christ is all in all. We are equal in his sight. The Godhead, the three in one, put on flesh. And because of this, you and I, his people, can clothe ourselves with his qualities. Because he was born in a manger, because he grew in wisdom and stature, we now can put him on and all of the attributes. So let's give thanks together to our Heavenly Father, Jesus our Lord, and to the Holy Spirit. So let's pray together. Father, we just thank you so much for your life. Lord, I sometimes don't know what words to say because they're also inadequate. But Lord, I pray that each one of us here will respond to the call that you gently place in our hearts to be transformed into your likeness. So that when we meet you, that we truly see you face to face. We truly see you how you are because we will be as you are. Father, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for this family of God, this community of faith. Lord, may we grow and flourish under your hand upon us, and that you, the pursuit of you will be our main thing. Father, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.